Hi, I'm Dan Winship. I work for Helix Code. This is my talk, Evolution for Nerds. So, does that actually work now? The idea behind Evolution for Nerds is that there's been a lot of marketing buzzwords and stuff like that around evolution. If you look at the description of my talk, it has these phrases like, evolution is the next step forward in GNOME applications. Evolution is a platform for groupware solutions. Evolution is the cornerstone of your internet desktop. And evolution is a seamless personal information management tool. Just what you needed. Forgot what?
Innovation.
Innovation, yes. Lots of innovation. So basically, evolution may very well be the most fully buzzword-compliant application ever written for Linux. But behind the buzzwords, there is really a lot of cool stuff in evolution, and that's what this talk is going to be about. Some of the GNOME technologies that are being used in evolution, some specific things that are being used in evolution, not GNOME libraries. And finally, hopefully, I'll be able to convince you that a seamless personal information management tool is actually something that you do want and isn't just a lot of buzzwords thrown together. Okay. So first, I'm just going to go over what evolution is for those of you who don't know as much. Right now, evolution has three major components, the mailer, the address book, and the calendar. They're all integrated together. And then there are two other components, the shell, which is sort of what binds the components together, lets you select folders and things like that. And a backend server, which for mysterious reasons that no one is quite sure of, is called the Wombat, which stores the calendar and address book information. The mailer is intended to be a fully modern, powerful, functional mail client. It supports POP, IMAP, Unix mBox format, Varspool Mail, all that stuff. All of these are done as shared libraries. They're called providers. And you can add more at any time. All the interfaces are there, so anybody could add more. Ideally, of course, we want to fully support Microsoft Exchange Server. That's not going to be easy. We'd also like to support the Lotus Domino server for Lotus Notes. That may be a little bit easier because IBM seems to be more interested in playing with us than Microsoft. Go figure. And several people have gotten excited about writing providers to access webmail things like Hotmail and Yahoo Mail so that it can connect to the HTTP server and suck out the mail and parse the mail bits and not give you all the advertisements. So two different people have said that they're started on working on that, so we'll see if anything comes of that. Of course, it displays HTML mail, like any modern mailer. And yes, it does send HTML mail. This is sort of something that has upset a lot of hacker, technical type people. We try to be very well behaved about sending HTML mail. There is currently no way to configure it to send HTML only. You can send text only, or you can send text and HTML. And we haven't gotten too many complaints yet. And then if you get PDF attachments, Microsoft Excel spreadsheets, anything like that, it will embed viewers so that you can display all of that in line, or you can launch an application to view it, or you can save it to disk, or anything like that. Of course, you heard about vFolders at Miguel's talk. These are virtual folders that essentially act as persistent searches. So you could, for instance, have a virtual folder of your unread messages and then just go to that, see those. You could have a virtual folder for messages from Miguel. You could have a virtual folder for unread messages from Miguel containing the word sucks. It would probably be pretty big. Part of the idea of vFolders comes from a project at DEC called Pachyderm, where they basically only had virtual folders in their system. And it was considered an alternative to filtering your message into physical folders, like where you'd have a physical folder for each mailing list. Instead, you create a virtual view for each mailing list. We're still sort of playing around with things, those of us who are actually using Evolution right now. And the vfolders are still, you can't do unread messages yet, I guess. You could set up a vfolder for messages from Miguel containing the word sucks, and that would work. But so we're still sort of playing around with figuring out what features we need to add to that and what will make them useful. But for now, they're sort of like persistent searches, like I said. Anyone have any questions about vfolders? Miguel talks about them a lot. But. Yes. The backend of the mailer is a library called Camel, which is based on the GTK object system. So you have your Camel folder, which is a GTK object, and emits a folder changed signal whenever anything is added to it. So each V folder that's doing searches on that folder would then connect to the signal. Whenever a message is added, it would notice that and immediately check whether it matches the V folder's criteria. And so, yes, whenever you get new messages, they would instantly appear in any vfolders that they ought to. One problem with this is that if you have a vfolder for unread messages, that means that as soon as you clicked on a message, it would disappear from the folder. So we have to, we'll do something about that. So here's a picture of the mailer. Has the welcome message that we ship with it currently. As you can see, it's a nice HTML message. It has an HTML background and some graphics. One thing that we wanted to do with the initial welcome message is do some things that would look better in Evolution than they would in either Netscape or Outlook. And so it's sort of hard to tell, but you can kind of, especially right here, see that the shadow of the butterfly is smoothly overlaid onto the grid and the background, and there's like full alpha channel all over the place, which PNG supports, but neither Netscape or Outlook or whatever the HTML rendering component in Windows is called actually deals with currently. So if you look at this there, you just get these sort of blocky butterflies on top of the grid. So we're cool and they're not. I think Mozilla actually does render it correctly. And apparently, I guess CSC Mail also does, because CSC HTML also has this feature, they tell us, which I guess nobody gets the snide in-joke here, which is that they forked it. And then you can see there's also a quick search thing, so you can search the mail. This is the composer. Again, this is also HTML that you're composing. You can set bold and indent and all sorts of stuff like this. Click on the 2 in CC, and it brings up your contacts so that you can move them into there. And, of course, attachments. You have an MP3 attached here. I don't know if you guys can actually read the text from back there, but the scary thing is, yes, this actually is real. There really is an Eminenya MP3 out there. It's bizarre. The address book keeps all of your contacts. You can organize them into categories. You can have your work contacts and your personal contacts and things like that in different folders. It's integrated with the mailer, like I said, so that when you're in the composer, you can pull stuff out of the address book. And although you can't do it yet, you will be able to send your vCard to other people as a vCard attachment so that they get all of your information. In addition to dealing with local files containing vCards, it also lets you connect to LDAP servers. So if your company has an LDAP server with directory information for everybody in the company, you can connect to that, search that, and pull email addresses and names out of that. And of course, you can have multiple LDAP servers configured, so you can have one for work and one for your other job or whatever. And we have an example of that here. This is looking in Bigfoot, which is a Net directory. Configuration information for Bigfoot and NetCenter comes with Evolution right now if you build it with LDAP support. And somebody's done a search here for Donald Duck. I don't know exactly what they populated the database from. I guess it's probably Usenet or something. But there are a lot of Donald Ducks out there. And if you double-click on one of these, you can get the larger view. The calendar supports vCalendar, iCalendar, iTIP, iMIP, and lots of other protocols you've probably never heard of unless you've actually written a calendar component yourself as well. vCalendar and iCalendar are like vCards, sort of, for calendaring information. So, is somebody saying something? What? Somebody disagreeing? No. So that you can send meeting requests to people in specially formatted messages, and if their mailer deals with that, then they can automatically respond with, yes, I'm free, no, I'm busy, and do shared scheduling like that. We want to have a server so that you can do shared scheduling that way by putting in a meeting request and everyone else connects to the server and fills in their free and busy times. The problem is that not only are there no free calendar servers right now, there's not even a free standard for a calendar server. There are various proprietary things like Exchange Server and Domino and other things like that. There is an internet draft for a protocol called CAP, but that's not finalized yet, and no one's really sure when it will be, and there are no implementations of it. So we're not exactly sure what's going to happen with this for evolution in the 1.0 timeframe, but we do definitely want to provide some sort of solution, which may end up being based on the Wombat, which I mentioned before, which is the personal calendar server. And we may extend that to allow it to support multiple people's calendars and do network support, throw in some authentication, and do that. And here's the calendar. If you've used GNOME Cal, this is, you can see it, June 2nd, sort of a little bit old, but I think this still looks pretty much like GNOME Cal. I don't know for sure because I haven't used it. Finally, the shell is the framework that the components are embedded in. You can, I have to load that again. The shortcut bar on the side where you have inbox and calendar and contacts, that's provided by the shell. There's also a tree view so that you can see all of your mail folders, all of your IMAP servers, your news server if you have network news configured, your LDAP servers are all in the tree view. And then eventually there's going to be an overview where you get your today's appointments, your upcoming to-do items, unread mail, and things like that all presented in one place, and that there will eventually be plugin support for that so that you can have it, you know, get fresh mead or slash dot headlines or whatever and have that appear in your overview. So it's sort of like the homepage sort of portal kind of thing, do it yourself. Okay, so that's the basics of what everything does. Now, why do you want it all integrated? Why do you need one program? Or why do you even need an address book and a calendar? So mail meets address book. Well, one, when you get a message with a vCard from somebody, it can automatically incorporate that information. Throw it into your address book. The address book component is actually used to display it. So the mailer just looks at the MIME headers, sees this is a vCard, and then embeds the address book using Bonobo to display it, and then there'll be buttons or something so you can click on if you want to add that vCard to one of your existing contact databases. And the mailer doesn't need to know anything about it, so that's cool. Again, when you compose mail, the address book also does Bonobo embedding so that if you remember the two CC and BCC fields, right now you can just click on the buttons to get a selector to get contacts. In the future, there'll be some sort of auto-completion sort of thing so that as you're typing, it will show you possible completions and then you can select one of them. This would be really hard if we didn't have Bonobo embedding because then the mailer and address book would have to be talking back and forth somehow or the mailer would have to be able to read the address book's files, which would be particularly hard in the case where the files were actually on an LDAP server. So by embedding, when you're typing into the to field, you're actually typing into the address book, and it can deal with looking in all of its databases, finding the things that might match that, and suggesting the completions to you. For calendar, there's IMAP, again, which is the mail-based scheduling system, and that will be handled basically like vCards, where when you get an IMAP request, it will embed the calendar component into the mail display so that you can process that request, say either, yes, I can make this meeting, no, I can't, or whatever. Another thing that we want to do with this is be able to flag a message, reply later, and then you set a timeout on that. And if you haven't replied to the message within that timeout, it can pop up a dialog box saying, hey, you need to reply to this. The alarms are dealt with by the Wombat, the backend server. So this could pop up even if you weren't running Evolution at the time, as long as you were logged in, of course. And the idea there is that the calendar can actually check and ask the mailer, has this message been replied to? And the mailer can look at the flags and see, and then not actually bother you if you did reply to it. Addressbook calendar integration, okay, there's not as much cool stuff there. The example we've come up with is you can click on one of your contacts and show all appointments with that person. And maybe that actually is a really cool feature. I don't know. I don't have many appointments. And then there are some Evolution-wide integration examples. We're going to have a power search feature, like the find function on the pilot, so that, for instance, you could search for OLS and find all messages containing the word OLS, all of your contacts that are associated with it, and all the things you have entered in your calendar for like your flight and when you're going to be here and all that. And get it all, again, in a view probably sort of like the Evolution overview where you have them all together so that you can look at everything. And the Evolution overview itself is another example of Evolution-wide integration where you see all of the relevant things, unread mail, to-do items, calendar items, all at once. Okay, so now the techie stuff. That was all like, this is what Evolution does. Now here are the things, here's why it's cool. And why we're not Outlook. So there are a bunch of GNOME technologies we're using. Corba is the communications glue behind everything. Bonobo, which some of you may have heard about at the previous talk, is the component embedding framework. OAF is the object activation framework, which is used to find and launch components. GTK HTML is the HTML rendering and editing engine that we're using, and GNOME VFS, I'll talk about later. We're not actually really using the VFS-y parts of it. Some cool ideas that we're using that aren't directly associated with various libraries or components. We're making use of a model view split in several places, which helps things out. We want Evolution to be very scalable, and so there are certain things that we're doing towards that. And then we want searching and indexing to be everywhere. And I talked about the power search and the V folders, and those are examples of that. And there are some others as well. So Corba is, like I said, the communications glue that binds the Evolution components together. There are several important interfaces that were designed specifically for Evolution. The Evolution shell interface is what the shell exports, and that allows components to do things like, find the toolbars and shortcut bars, ask it to select a folder so that, for instance, when you go to refile a message, it asks the shell, let the user select a mail folder, and then the shell pops up the tree view because it has access to all of that information. The shell component interface is what each of the components, mail, address, calendar, supports. And then that lets the shell do all of the embedding it needs to do on the component. The storage interface is also used by the components, and that's used to create folders in the tree view. So if you have an IMAP server, that would be an Evolution storage interface because it creates a new top-level entry in the tree. And similarly for news and the LDAP servers and other things like that. Now, the fact that we use all of these interfaces instead of just, random hacks means that new components can be added later. All they need to do is support the Evolution shell component and possibly Evolution storage interfaces along with all the Bonobo and other interfaces. And you can just add them in and they'll just work. They'll be embedded in the shell. You can have shortcuts for them. They can be in the tree. It'll be great. Means that other people can add new components. We're not the only people who can do that. This is one of the things that's sort of weird about Microsoft is that, they have this component framework like Bonobo, Calm, but everything's sort of organized so that only they can do stuff so that, and this is GNOME, it's open, we're not like that. And new components can be written in any language that has CORBA bindings. And these are just, a few examples. But you actually could write, your new replacement evolution mail client in Perl and use the Perl Orbit bindings that Owen Taylor wrote and just plug it in. The use of CORBA interfaces also means that you can script the components. In addition to the evolution shell components and shell interfaces, each of them supports their own interfaces. So the address book has an add vcard interface, and the mailer might have a send message interface and things like that. Those are still not quite nailed down. And this means that you can send a 5-line Perl script, that being in quotes because I don't actually know how long it would really be, but we just say a 5-line Perl script, to, for instance, mail a message to everyone in your address book, just like the I love you virus. And whenever we talk about evolution and scriptability, everyone's like, oh my god, you're going to have viruses, it will be just like Outlook. And the answer is no, we're not stupid. First of all, yes, you could write a Perl script to send a message to everyone in your address book using evolution, but you could do that with Pine, too. And you just invoke send mail, parse the address book by hand, all of that stuff. The reason why Outlook is insecure is because it runs scripts that you received in mail, and that's just stupid, and we're not going to do that. Anyone have questions, comments on that? Everyone always seems to be very worried about it. There is, of course, the possibility that there'll be buffer overruns or something, but there's that in any mailer. So,
what are you going to do for the stupid users? Part of the problem with the I love you virus is that you had to actually write it yourself.
Well, you had to click on it.
You had to click on it. So, what are you
going to
do to prevent?
Well, because when you click on it, it will show you, here's a Perl script. I mean, there won't be any option to cause it to run. If the message says in it, right-click on this, choose save as file, go to your xterm, type chmod plus, a plus x, file, and then type this, and the user does it, well, there's nothing we can do. But again, you can do that in Pine as well.
So you're saying there's no way to run a script.
Right. Scripts are for the user to write, to make things simple for them. They are not for arbitrary unknown people on the network to write to make things hard for you.
So, how about the HTML
events? You mean like JavaScript stuff and
whatever, and then things to invent
tomorrow
that you
want to do. Okay, that comes up later, but actually it may even be in the next frame. But yeah, we're dealing with that too. I'll get to that. Again, I mean, they would have to save it to disk and then run it.
So that's the default action, is to just save it to disk?
It depends. I mean, if you get a document of some sort that it doesn't know how to display, the default action may be to open it up in an application.
It's based on the mind.
Yeah. And again, yeah, there's some more discussion of that later. But basically, yeah, the it's an easy solution. Okay, Bonobo is the GNOME component model, and Miguel and Michael have both talked about this at length now, so I'm only going to get into it a little. But it's used for visual embedding, basically. Each component is embedded in the shell, so the shell provides a toolbar and the shortcut bar and the tree, and then just a big empty pane, and the components use Bonobo to embed themselves into that window. I talked about how the address book embeds its special entry widgets into the mail composer. So there are actually three different embedded controls there, one for to, one for CC, one for BCC. The mailer embeds components into itself to display content that it doesn't know how to display. So if you get a PDF attachment, it can use the GPDF component. If you get an Excel attachment, it could use the numeric component. Okay, GTK HTML, this is our HTML renderer. It's originally based on KHTMLW from KDE. To answer your question, GTK HTML basically uses security through stupidity. It doesn't support JavaScript. It doesn't support Java. If it ever does, we'll turn them off in evolution. If you know the next great language or object embedding thing, you know, again, we're just going to make sure that active content, you know, doesn't get executed in your mail. Yeah, there probably will be that problem. Oh, he said, you don't think that users will want active content. And yes, there is definitely that issue that people may want stuff like that. And then... Well, another possibility is, I don't know if any of you know about GNOME Basic, which is a Visual Basic clone that's being written for Gnumeric, so that it can properly import Excel spreadsheets that have Visual Basic scripts in them, which is unfortunately a lot of Excel spreadsheets, and it's pretty much... Visual Basic Translator. Oh, because it... Why? What is it translated into? Oh, you just don't want to say?
Visual Basic, we have an interpreter that is separate. We can also go to C or Perl.
Okay.
The idea is not to write more Visual Basic.
Right. But... But as I said, the main idea is that you get these Excel spreadsheets and they're useless if you can't run the Visual Basic scripts, and so it has to do that. And it sandboxes the Visual Basic interpreter or translator so that if there is, you know, an I love you virus or something like that in the Excel spreadsheet, then it can't actually do anything bad in the real world. It can only do bad things to the spreadsheet. So I guess it could, like, fill every cell in the spreadsheet with I love you or something. And so that is, again, something that we could do. If we did end up having to do JavaScript or something, we could sandbox it so that its power was limited only to the content of that message. And then that should hopefully deal with some of the security problems. So we use this to render both text and HTML mail. That means that, like, if you get text messages and they have URLs in them, you can click on them and it will launch your web browser. And one of the neat things it does is it allows you to embed arbitrary GTK objects inside the HTML flow, which is how we do the bonobo embedding for the viewers. There's also an HTML editor, which you saw embedded in the composer earlier. That's a bonobo component. Has all sorts of toolbars, and you can click on bold and italic and make this bigger and indent this and all sorts of other things to make annoying, ugly mail. And then, you know, the mailer will strip all of that formatting out to send the text version. It also allows you to embed images and links, background images in the document, which, you know, again, you never have to see if you don't want to. Right. Okay, good question. I forgot to mention that. Right now, in evolution, when you receive mail with images in it, it will only load the images if they're stored as part of the message body. It will never go out onto the network to get images. There will eventually be an option where it will put, like, some button into the picture saying, click this if you want to fetch the images. And so then you could do that if it was a message that you trust and not if it was a piece of spam. So, yeah. Okay, OAF is the object activation framework in GNOME 2. It's replacing GOAD, the GNOME object activation directory. And basically, it's just a database of these are the components on the system, and these are bits of information about them. And OAF is actually, it has all sorts of stuff. And in particular, it stores what bonobo interfaces each component supports and what MIME types it can deal with for components that deal with MIME types. GNOME VFS is used heavily by Nautilus for its virtual file system stuff. Evolution doesn't use that part of it as much, but it does use the interfaces for, I have, you know, this document of this MIME type, can you find me an OAF component that will display it? Or can you use OAF to find a bonobo component that will display it? It also lets you say, here's a file name, in, what MIME type is this, which is useful for things like Microsoft Outlook, which almost always sends attachments as application octet stream, even when it knows what type they are. For things where you don't know the MIME type or the file name, it also has an interface where you can just feed it some raw data and it basically runs the file command on it in memory to try and figure out what sort of data you have. So Evolution uses this to find components and programs to use to display data. So if it finds a component, it can embed that directly into the GTK HTML. If it can only find a program that isn't a Bonobo component, it would display an icon saying, you know, click here to launch this program and display the document. So this means that Evolution will use exactly the same set of viewers as Nautilus does. So whenever you configure something so that it works with Nautilus, it will work with Evolution as well. So this is the question, if people didn't hear it, is what if there's a Bonobo component that has a known security exploit and you still want to be able to use it to display stuff on your local disk, files that you made, for instance, but you don't want it to be used to display mail because then obviously somebody could use it to break into your machine. This is something that we're going to have to deal with. At the moment, I don't think there is... Well, I think you can go into the control center and remove the mapping from that MIME type to that application. But again, that would mean that nothing could use it. We're going to have to do that, and we're also going to go through and look at some of the components and, you know, make sure there are no obvious security problems with them. Same thing for the GDK PixBuff library, which we use to render graphics. There are actually some problems right now where, in certain cases, if you send it badly. Oh, I think I'm moving too far. I get it. If you send it badly formatted GIF or JPEG graphics, it will crash the mailer when it tries to display them. So we're fixing those things as we find them. Okay, so model view split. The basic idea here is that you have a model which contains data, and then you have some other description of how you want to display it, which is not directly connected to the model. And this means that if you want to change the sorting, you just change the view. You don't have to touch the data, the model, at all. And the other thing is that you can have multiple views of the same model. So in the address book, for instance, you can have a table view of your contacts, or you can have the mini card view that was shown before. And those are based on the same data. You can also have multiple concurrent views where changes made in one view will automatically be reflected in the others. So there are some neat things you can do with this. There are lots of things in GNOME that are playing around with it. The big thing that we're using it for is the Wombat, the backend server for the address book and the calendar. So the current GUI address book and calendar are one set of views for the data that it stores. The pilot, or the Palm synchronization daemon, is essentially another view. It accesses the same set of data and can access it concurrently, but the point is it can run when the graphical interface is not running, make changes, and if you do run them both at the same time, changes made in one will automatically be reflected in the other. The reminders and alarm stuff I mentioned before is also run from the Wombat. And so that can also be running when the calendar application itself isn't running, which is a big problem with the current GNOME Cal app. You can't do that. eTable, which is the table and tree widget that we're using, for instance, in the message list in the mail component, also makes use of model view. And each of the headings in the table, you can click on and choose sort by this column, and the eTable just does that automatically without you having to worry about the model data. You can also group by, you know, group messages with similar or with the same from address, or group messages by date or whatever. And then there's the possibility of having multiple different user interface views, so that people have talked about making a web-based front end, again, using the Wombat, instead of having the GTK GNOME-based front end. Go on the web, get your calendar and address book data, and hopefully your mail. Some people want a text-based front end. And, of course, you know, the ever-popular Emacs-based front end. Problem with this is that the mailer is not yet model view. The interfaces between the front end and back end of the mailer are pretty complicated, and we're not quite sure what the best way to split everything up neatly would be. So we want to be able to handle huge amounts of data in evolution, meaning you should be able to have lots and lots of folders. You know, like for instance, you should be able to deal with an entire news server. You should be able to have very large folders. Somebody sent mail to one of the evolution lists complaining that it took too long to delete messages from the beginning of his 4,000 message folder. We've actually played around with folders with 20,000 messages. I'm not actually sure.
Yeah. One of the points that is probably due to the indexing is that it's really slow if you import something which is large. I tried on my inbox, which was 30 megabytes.
Right. There's a bug right now. There's a bug right now that as your inbox gets larger, it takes more and more time to add new mail to it, and that's unfortunate. The other thing is that we're protocols. We want to be able to handle huge amounts of data over the network as well. And IMAP, for instance, is very good about this, allowing you to just get little pieces of data at a time so that you never have to pull data over the network when you don't want to. At the moment, we don't, because the IMAP provider is still pretty new and doesn't support searching at all, so there's no way to do the filtering. But when it does, so the IMAP protocol has a search command in it, and will require that your server support that. Once you have that, you know, it's just you send a search command. You know, search does not have the scene flag, and from equals Miguel. And I think it does. You can search for words in the body as well. You know, so contains sucks, and it will return a list of. Good. Got to stop doing that. A list of the UIDs of the messages that contain that, and then you just put that into the view folder with everything else. So it works pretty transparently because of how the CAML, the mailer library, works. So we use summary files to allow quick mbox operations. So if you have your 20,000 messages in the inbox, you don't want to have to completely parse out the entire mbox every time, obviously. So we create a summary file, you know, this idea blatantly stolen from Netscape, that contains, you know, the offsets of each message and then important information like to, from, subject, date for each message so that we can generate the header lines for the message list without having to actually read the mbox itself. We create index files of the mboxes to allow quick searching. So basically, a file containing the location or containing which messages contain which words, so that you know you can look up sucks in the index very quickly and find all of the messages that contain that word. Remote data like IMAP can be cached on local disks so that you don't have to keep fetching the messages over and over. We don't actually do that yet. Like I said, the IMAP code is still very new, but that will be done. That will also be used to support offline operation for IMAP. And then, as I said, IMAP lets you say, it actually parses the MIME parts itself. So you can say, just fetch the main body at first and give me the headers of any attachments. And then you can construct a display and wait for the user to actually click on an attachment before you fetch that data from the IMAP server. And that way you don't have to download the huge, you know, MNENYA MP3 attachment unless the user actually wants to listen to it, which is very useful for people on modems. Each component allows searching. In the screenshots before, there's a search thing in each one. We also are going to have the power search so that you can search across all components. And then IBEX is a library we wrote back in February to create the indexes for the mailer. It just goes through, finds the words in each message, and writes out the index file. There are some problems with it, like the fact that you have to keep the entire index in memory, which is pretty bad when you have very, very large folders. people are talking about, you know, yeah, evolution's great, but it uses up 128 megs of RAM on my machine, things like that. So Medusa is an indexing system which was written by some people at Easel for Nautilus. And so it works on disk with its indexes. Unfortunately, it's arranged around having a daemon that runs in the background and all those other things. So we're expecting that we'll be able to share some code, but not actually use Medusa as it is. But so we'll be porting to use that. Okay, the evolution of evolution, or what comes next. So one obvious enhancement we can make is to add more components. People have talked about doing a notes component, notes as in post-it notes, not as in Lotus notes. You just can't say post-it notes because 3M doesn't like that. Somebody has actually already started work on this, Anders Carlson. It's actually being shipped. It's in the evolution tree. It's just not built by default. So you'll be able to have little sticky notes that you can attach to messages and things like that. People have talked about doing a project management component, which would integrate in obvious ways with the address book and the calendar. You could have your, you know, your LDAP server of everybody at your office, and then it could pull stuff from that and, you know, create entries in the calendar and say, oh no, you shouldn't assign Dan 88 hours of work for the next milestone because he's going to OLS, and things like that. As a sort of silly example, there's this conversation on the GNOME hackers mailing list a long time ago where people were being very confused about where in the world various people were, because, like, Miguel, for instance, is never in the same country for more than a week at a time. And so we had this silly idea of having a server that tracks people's locations, and then you could, you know, have it automatically look up everybody in your address book and plot them all on a map so that you can see where people are. So if you're looking, for instance, for somebody to bug Federico, which was what the problem was at the time, you'd know whether or not Miguel was in the same country as he is. And then, you know, you could add a where should we throw a conference function to minimize plane costs for everybody involved. another thing that we're all sort of excited about is the idea of embedding Gnomax, which is the bonobized Emacs that Martin Bollig is working on, as the mail composer, so that instead of having this HTML editor, you can just use Emacs to write your mail. Because, of course, everyone wants to do that. And then, you know, for the VI users, we thought, well, we could also have a bonobized ZVT widget, which is the GNOME terminal widget, stick that in and let you run VI or Pico or whatever else it is that you like, and use that.
Do you have any sort of GPG integration with the
mailer? We definitely...
Question, please.
PGP or GPG integration. We definitely want to support that and S/MIME. Somebody actually started working on it in the last week. I saw on the mailing list. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet because I've been traveling around. But yes, we definitely do, and have that be nice and integrated, where, you know, the contact address book would keep track of the PGP keys of your contacts, and then you can automatically sign messages. We're not sure if it will be in 1.0. It will definitely be in eventually.
What about POP3 or SMTP over SSL?
Question is POP3 or SMTP or IMAP over SSL. Again, we want to do that. One problem there is that OpenSSL has a BSD style license and we have a GPL license, and so we can't directly link them together. But, you know, there may be things with, like, helper programs or something. Yes, there is an authentication framework in CAML for dealing with authentication methods or other than passwords. It actually, the POP code in evolution right now currently supports Kerberized POP, just because it's like 5 lines of code, and I needed something else when I was testing the pop-up boxes in the select your authentication method dialog box, so I had to add something else. And yeah, there will be SSL and other things like that. So there is code which somebody has written to import Outlook Express files, which are unfortunately a different format. I don't know if like the format of the PST file is actually documented. That's part of the problem. People have come up with various solutions, like you can use the Netscape for Windows import utility, and it can read PST files and output mbox files. And so you can use that. There's also, if you have the latest versions or if you have Exchange Server or something, you can do SQL queries on the PST file and extract the data that way. So there are people who are working on that as well. Again, something we definitely want to support.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mostly, I mean, unless there are horrible bugs in the mailer that you know cause it to actively go and corrupt your data, the worst thing that can usually happen when you crash is that it loses your summary and index files and has to regenerate those from scratch, which can be very time consuming. But whenever it's working on the mbox file, it's either just overwriting the header information, which tells it like the message flags whether or not it's been read and things like that. Or if it actually has to change data, like removing a message, it writes out a copy and then moves that over the original. So it never actually makes changes such that if it crashed in the middle, you'd lose state. Mm-hmm. The calendar currently only supports local storage. As I said, we're working on supporting, or we want there to be some sort of remote calendar server. For the contacts, you can have an LDAP server. I believe that's read-only. Chris?
It's still read-only, yes. We plan to make it.
But the protocol and everything does support writing?
Yeah, we just have to work on the authentication.
Okay, yeah, so there needs to be some authentication stuff if you want to be able to write to an LDAP server. Yeah, Outlook, especially if you're using an Exchange server, does let you sort of mix and match things all over the place, and you can store your to-do items on your IMAP server and weird things like that. And we're not planning to directly support that, but we do want to support having remote storage of all of your data.
Additionally, when composing a mail, can you add arbitrary headers to an outgoing message?
Not at the moment. Sorry. You mean like having multiple identities, for instance?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
For example, you might be operating in the role of a tech support person, and you want to be able to send out messages either as yourself or as one of the dual accounts.
Right. Well, or I mean, people have multiple email addresses and things like that. You know, from various old jobs and personal email addresses. You can currently configure as many identities as you want. It only ever uses the first one. Very soon, possibly in the next week, you will actually be able to choose which identity you want to use when you're composing a message. There'll be like a pop-up. And then eventually you'll be able to associate identities with folders such that whenever you're replying to a message in a certain folder, for instance, it would automatically use a certain identity. Or you could have rules such that if it goes to one of your email addresses when you reply, obviously it should reply from that email address, and you can tell which mailing lists and things like that. So, yeah?
Hi, I just want to, I think that's a very good point about allowing arbitrary headers, because one of the annoying things about Outlook is that if, say, you're applying with one hat rather than another, you actually have to set up a whole new account in order just for the from line and the reply to line to look different. So if whoever's developing it can, rather than just a drop-down list, make it an editable drop-down list in place, that would be very, very useful.
Okay.
For the V folders, can you do a based on the reply, the resend from and the resend to fields? Then there's a real problem with Netscape in that, like if I
right.
subscribe to the DB users list, but a lot of them get resent to the
Mm-hmm.
And so I have this huge pile of emails in my inbox that don't get sorted.
Right now, the vFolder and filtering stuff, they use the same engine. only allows you to work with headers which are stored in the summary, which, like I said, is to CC subject from stuff like that. We do definitely plan to extend it to be able to work on arbitrary headers, because various mailing list managers, you know, insert different headers, and so you need to be able to look for all sorts of different things. So yes, we plan to support that. Sorry, there's a guy behind you. Okay.
Where is the V folder and which
component is it? In the mailer.
In the mailer, what's it called?
You mean in the source tree, like?
Yeah.
Or well, it's Camel Providers V, V-E-E, is the Camel provider that does it. There's also some code to set up the V folders in the mail subdirectory, and then the engine that actually does the rule matching is in the filter subdirectory.
Is the V folder concept extensible so you can plug in stuff that's not mailed, like your Netscape cache or two documents folders, so that when you search, like you get, for example, for your OLS example, you might also come up with the OLS web page with the schedule of that stuff?
At the moment, it only works on mail. And the way it's implemented, it's sort of tied to the mailer architecture. But the power search thing, again, would only work on things that implemented the Evolution Shell component interface. So people could write components that would end up doing web searches and things like that if they wanted that. I know that you know, I was saying Medusa, the indexing engine that was written for Nautilus, they're planning to do a lot of stuff with that, with having it index everything on your hard drive so that you can do searches from Nautilus and find that. So, and then presumably it would use the GNOME VFS and OAuth stuff to say, well, okay, so I found the string OLS in this file, which appears to be the Evolution address book file, and so it would use the address book component to display that for you.
Mm-hmm. Are V folders currently limited to only working in one physical mail folder, or does it actually understand if I, for example, sort in my mailing list using
right.
mail, would find OLS messages that were sent to me both in my main inbox and off the list?
At the moment, V folders only search inbox. That will be fixed. All right, I only have a few more slides, and then can get back to questions if people have more. So another idea of bonobo extensibility that people have talked about is date-based plugins in the calendar. So for instance, on each calendar page, you could have a little spot where there is a weather bonobo plugin, you know, maybe something based on the GNOME weather applet that would just show you the weather forecast for that day. Or you could have something that would fill in holidays or, like, you know, birthdays. Of course, you know, you'll get birthdays of people from your address book at some point automatically if you want that. Online event calendars that, you know, you could see when new movies are coming out and things like that. And, you know, of course, there could be arbitrary possibilities there with, you know, having links to, like, I don't know, Ticketmaster.com or whatever. Really wacky ideas. Okay. I'll do the Glade integration first. So one idea that we've had is integrate Evolution with Glade somehow. So that you can create, Glade is the GTK and GNOME interface builder. I don't know if everyone's familiar with it, but it just lets you do, you know, drag controls and widgets and scroll bars and text entry boxes around and put them into a window, and then it can generate code for them, or it can output an XML file, which you can then use libglade to automatically use in your application. So, you know, we've had this idea, you can create like a form of some sort with text entry boxes and pop-up menus and things using Glade, mail it to someone else using Evolution, and they would be offered the opportunity to fill it in and mail back the results. And so you could use this. Outlook apparently has some feature like this. I'm not sure exactly what it uses. It's probably like ActiveX. And apparently places use this, for instance, like, you know, for requisitions or, you know, requests for vacation time or whatever, where you fill in the form and mail it off to the secretary or whatever, and it's automatically processed. You could set up scripts that would be able to process the results of the form very easily. There are security issues with this, in particular with some things that Glade lets you do. So, you know, again, as with anything else, we'd have to be very careful. evolution chess is a sort of a weird idea we had of, so you take the GNOME chess applet, make it a bonobo component, and then start a game, and then embed that into a mail message and mail it off to a friend. And then they get it, open it up in evolution, and see the chessboard there, and they make their move and click reply. And it mails it back to you. Yeah, this is just something we came up with while trying, you know, sort of to push the envelope and see, you know, where evolution could really go. And, you know, maybe that would be silly and we wouldn't want to do it, but we're just sort of trying to think, you know, where we can take it after we have POP, IMAP, LDAP, and, you know, all the basics working. For more information, you can go to our website. When you get there, there should be a link in the news section to the last public release, beta release we did, or you can click on the applications icon and then click on evolution. You can send mail to evolve@helixcode.com if you have specific questions about things or if you want to volunteer to help. I guess I should have put, there are also two other mailing lists, evolution, which is for general discussion of evolution, which you can add yourself to at lists.helixcode.com, and evolution hackers, which is for people who are actively working on development. HTTP lists.helixcode.com will let you subscribe to any of the public mailing lists that we have. Any other questions? Yeah.
The palm syncing daemon. How optimistic are you about that in the near term?
Most of the work was already done for the GNOME PIM, the original GNOME PIM, so GNOME Cal and stuff. So the basic code to, you know, talk to the pilot and everything is all there. Basically, we just need to integrate it with the Wombat. And that is, Chris, do you know how, like, percentage-wise, palm syncing?
Palm syncing for the address book hasn't really been started, but it's like, it should take a day.
Right, and but for the calendar, it's like...
Supposedly it works.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure syncing for the calendar works, but maybe flaky.
Last time I looked at evolution, it required a use of all sorts of leading edge GNOME libraries and whatnot. You had to compile it all from source, and I looked at it and said, gee, I don't have time to do all of this. Is that still the case, and at what point will it start?
It is still the case that it requires all sorts of bleeding edge libraries. That will be the case until the libraries stop bleeding, which will be sometime this fall. However, it is not the case anymore that you have to build it all from scratch yourself. There are RPMs available of it now, and you can get that through the Helix updater if you're running Helix GNOME. There's a special evolution mirror, which you can click on and get evolution 0.2 RPMs. And there are also devs of it. And there should be information about that off our website. You can't, none of them do anything useful without the shell. The shell theoretically should be reasonably lightweight though, so that you can just, you know, have them minimally embedded in the shell. Right now, when the shell starts up, it starts up all of the other components. We may make it so that it only starts up the ones that you use regularly, so that it would not take the time to start up the calendar component until you actually clicked on it if you don't normally use the calendar. No. That was supposed to be the case, and it may become the case again in the future, but yeah, it's not at the moment. in the back.
Do you support or will you support automatic archiving of folders?
Meaning?
Taking the last month of Linux kernel and sticking in a separate area outside of the main store?
We don't yet. We're planning to have a sort of generic rules and actions framework so that you can set up rules like, you know, if in Linux kernel and more than a month old, do this action. So hopefully that should be pretty easy to put in. You know, again, if you have features that you're particularly eager for, it is an open source project. And any other questions? How am I for time? Okay.